You ever wonder why we even need the Church of Jesus Christ? And if it is so important, why are there so many problems and messes in the church? I'd like to invite you to the West Coast Bible Conference called the Corinthianization of the Church, where we look at the problems that happened and that Paul addressed in first century Corinth. We're going to be taking this up on April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. I will be speaking at the conference, Pastor Danny Hyde and Dr. Lee Gaddis. This is through the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. You can register now at alliancenet.org. Again, alliancenet.org. Or you can call 1-800-488-1888. Again, 1-800-488-1888. We would love to see you at the conference. If you're a regular listener to Abounding Grace Radio, I would love to meet you. We have an exciting conference planned where we're going to deal with issues such as celebrity pastors, sexual morality, communion chaos, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. This is such an important conference for our day. If you're in this area, this is right in Carlsbad at the Carlsbad Community Church, do please join us for this conference. Again, the Corinthianization of the Church, April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. We would love to see you there. Visit again to register for the conference at alliancenet.org.
Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The Gospels, we have this great story of Jesus calming a great storm that happened when the disciples were out on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. This story has been applied in many different ways, at least as I have heard it over the years, often with the application that Jesus can calm all the storms in your life. We're going to look at this great passage today and understand what it says about who Jesus is, his divinity, his power, and what it means as this particular storm was a call, as Jesus silenced it and there was peace, a call for them to believe in him as the God of their life. We're going to look at this today on Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. So thankful, dear listener, you take time out of your day to tune into the program. We want Abounding Grace Radio to be a great aid and blessing to you to understand the scriptures more and to see the person and the work of Jesus Christ from all of the Bible. Thanks again for tuning into the program. Here is now part two of the message that we aired yesterday from Mark chapter 4, the storm that we least expected. Please go back and find that first part. Such a wonderful section of scripture to teach and to preach. We believe it'll be a great blessing to you. Again, the storm that we never expected. This is part two today from Mark chapter 4, and we hope that Abounding Grace Radio is a great blessing to you. The text is taking us to something that they ask. I can't imagine how it went. I don't know who was the foreman that went down or if it was all of them at once that are yelling. All I know is they belt out, "Do you not care that we're perishing?" How do you capture that? It's an absolute mayday. It's filled with nothing but despair. It's filled with nothing but fear. It's filled with nothing but panic. But I suppose we should just feel the weight of the question for a minute. Or maybe cut it in half. Do you not care? Do you not care? Wake up! It's moments like this that all of a sudden things are really raised to the surface of where we are. What has the storm done? If you're asking if he really cares about you, you really do have a sort of conflict that has come upon them, a crisis that has come upon them of
contrasting but now challenging the very claims of his word in the seeming conflict and the reality now of the circumstance that seems to undermine that word. What do you do when the circumstance undermines everything that he's spoken to? What do you do when you can't process the storm that has come? What do you do? This really does show how easily trials raise to the forefront the doubt that lurks in all of our hearts as we sit here this morning. Doubt of love, doubt of care, doubt of gospel, doubt of good intentions. In the midst of it, they utterly panic. And let me say, if they panicked, I would have done even worse. I'm not beating them up. They were fishermen. Think about that. They were fishermen. And they're panicked. And that leads us to the point. What do we do? I don't have to make a case for trial. I don't have to make a case for storms. All I know is, it seems to be, when I've looked over the course of ministry in people's lives, it's the most unexpected of things that cause this great problem that we see come out here. The most unexpected, the bad news that seems to turn everything upside down, the death, the sickness, the ongoing awful thing that when it was all inaugurated and began, it utterly shook us to the core. The overturning of life. Everything was calmed, and then now I'm in the midst of the worst eye of a storm that I never even anticipated was coming and can't believe has come upon me. A storm will come. Do you understand that? A storm will come. And here's where I think the text challenges us to look carefully at what he's saying. He has just explained that there are different kinds of hearers of his word. And what did he particularly say that stood out in those parables about those who hear the word of God preached to them? He said, there are times when tribulation comes. There are times when hearts are so rocky that worry comes. There are times when fear overcomes people. And it strikes at the ability to hear the word of God. How much conflict has driven people away from the word of God? In the midst of conflict, they're gone. When do you do your devotions? Well, when the sun's up. You're going to find the most comfortable situation you possibly can to go out and read your Bible. Sorry, life doesn't work that way. And in the midst of conflict, in the midst of storm, you're tested. You all know this. It shows the absolute weakness of the sinful, of our natures and what sin has done. And what is the first thing that we all do? You question God. You're not really for us. Why have you turned on us? Why have you turned on me? God doesn't love us, doesn't love me. Look at this. And we are so fast to impute to him some kind of evil motive in the storm. This is exactly what they did. But what has it done? It's exposed how shallow we really are with his word. We're all shallow soil. A word which he has told us from Genesis 1, by which he upholds heaven and earth. And now the storm has exposed it. Don't you care? Don't you care? What a painful thing to hear, right? If you're the Lord, what a painful thing to hear. The whole purpose in coming to earth was because he cared. What a terrible thing to say. His entire purpose in coming down from heaven and crawling off his glorious throne to put on our rags and come to this particular sin-cursed world was that they ultimately would never have to die. That's what he would say. Do you not care? And you see, the storm forced them to face the issue of that claim. Would they ask that question when he was hanging from the cross, facing the ultimate storm of God's wrath on his soul? Would they ask that question when the blows and the hits and the death came? And maybe that's what we have to always remember, right? But let life fall apart just a little, and you see where you are. And that's everyone. We've heard many things from preachers in the course of our life. We've heard many things from pastors about the goodness of God, about how much he cares for us, about what he's come to do for us, and giving us all this. Jesus loved you, you've heard. Jesus died for you, you've heard. And here's what now strikes, doesn't it? Here's what really strikes, is Jesus now has a question of his own. Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith? Still? You are absolutely controlled by fear. That's not compatible with my lordship. Are you still not believing and trusting my word? Still? I wonder how important that question is for us right now. Not for the one sitting next to you, but for you. Do you still, after all this, live in fear? Do you still doubt that word? And at this point, everyone should say, well, if there is a good soil that hears his word and by faith comes, because faith comes by hearing, he just said, you still have no faith. Faith comes by hearing. What is going on? Jesus told his own disciples that their hearing had yet to bring home this kind of trusting, resting faith that he would accomplish in them. He would accomplish it. This is the work of God that you believe. And we should be profoundly affected by this, realizing that left to ourselves, storms would utterly crush us. Storms would utterly crush us. You don't have the power to uphold yourself for one moment in this life. It just takes one little turn of providence, one little event, and everything could be utterly turned upside down. And then what? Then what? And I believe Mark wanted all of us to pause and say, look how wonderful he is. Can this Jesus sustain us when the storm has utterly rocked us to the core, when for the strongest of people who were the strongest of fishermen would have been snatched away? How did he do it? And you see, we find this way of God's working that is absolutely mysterious to us, don't we? Everything is totally backwards to our own wisdom. This is why I said at the beginning of the sermon, it's not that Jesus has promised to calm the storm of your life. Life is the storm. And at times it really comes up. But it does put on display his power to uphold and to keep his own in the midst of the storm. I believe something of this was captured that Paul must have been working from in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he was thinking a lot about the abundance of the Lord revealing truth to him. Remember? Concerning the abundance of the revelations, lest I should become conceited, God had given me all this understanding. God had given me all this truth of his word and had really blessed me. And had opened up my mind. And then in the next breath, he says, lest I should think of myself more highly than I needed a test. And he goes on to say, a messenger of Satan came along shortly after to torment me, to buffet me. I was given so much from the Lord. Things were revealed to me. I had been given so much from him. Isn't this something? I'd been given so much, and I got the test. And immediately I found in the midst of the test, under God's will and under God's providence, that was clearly Satan pounding on me. And that had the effect of bringing into the question, where is the Lord's goodness in the midst of this? And in the next phrase, he cries out, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might take it away. Oh, I went to him in prayer. I pleaded. It was a desperation cry. Lord, take it away. It's desperation. I'm begging you. Did he take away the storm? Nope. But the Lord said something even greater. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is made perfect and put on display in your weakness. I love to show power in weakness. I love to show power in a jar of clay. I love to demonstrate what grace is like in the midst of the storm. I love to put on display the power of Christ resting upon you so that your fears are turned to trust. That's what Paul said. When I heard that it was God's good intention that in the storm grace would rest upon me, it strengthened me. It had the effect of strengthening me. And I looked at everything different now. His entire perspective was changed as he says, this was now an opportunity for me to no longer live in fear, but to boast. Because resting power of Christ being upon me, I realized that when I'm weak, then I am truly strong. And that was Paul's description when he encouraged the Philippians to pray. It drove them to prayer in the midst of anxieties, to pray. Why? Because as you come to him with thankful hearts, praising hearts, he's going to guard your heart and your mind. In this particular case, the storm has led them to panic. It has come. They've come to Christ. What was the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter is they could not see what ultimately was the truth, that nothing could separate them. Think of this thought. If the boat went down, if they went down, so did Jesus. And how would that be possible? Imagine if we thought that way. When he says, I promise never to leave you nor forsake you. So picture this. The worst storm they've ever known as fishermen, they watch him arise from his pillow. Doesn't say, after he asks the question, think about this. He rises, stands out on the boat. And with the word of his mouth, remember, this is the ocean, this is the sea. He speaks verbally to the sea. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And immediately there was this. Notice Mark uses the word mega again. Great calm. Great calm. Great storm. Great calm. I wonder if at that moment, all that he had already put on display has really now taken root in the seat of their heart when even the demons submitted to that word. The entire demonic realm did. He's been preaching everywhere, and his authority was impressive. But now in front of them, by that same word, even the sea calmed and obeyed him. The ocean obeyed him. And it had the intended effect. It had the intended effect. The storm was sent to show them this, and this is where it had brought them. You see it. They were deathly afraid of the storm, and then what happened? Mark said, mega storm. Mark says, mega calm. And then in verse 39 and in verse 41, the greatest fear came upon them. For the first time, we read that mega fear overwhelmed them with regard to him. Mega fear. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Great fear came upon them. I suggest that's the fear we need to have. Who is this speaking to us? Who is this? You see, you could hear sermons all your life and never come to grapple with that question. You see? Who is this? Who is it that has this kind of preeminence? That every single word that comes out of his mouth, everything obeys. Who is this? And that's where you need to be. That's what you have to ask. Who is this who's called you out of darkness? This proper fear happening has that effect. If I can calm the storm with my mere word, what does that tell you about who I am? They have one option. Who is this? This is God's Son. It was through him that everything was created. It was by his word that it happened. And if all of creation humbly bows before this king's word, if all the demons bow before this king's word, if he has absolute supremacy with the voice of his mouth and shows his power, well, it kind of makes the question a great question. How much do you believe when he has said to you today, son, forgiven are your sins? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I have taken so much time in the course of my life with this same voice that upheld, that through everything was created, that upholds by the power of my might through all the storms I've taken, I've spoken, I've explained to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That same voice. Explaining to you my gospel love, do you still not believe that? Do you think your storm was something that caught me off guard? Don't you see I'm testing you? The very voice that calmed the storm that day has calmed the ultimate storm of God's wrath against you. It's my voice that on the last day will command your loved ones and you to get up from the grave. Do you know that? I'm going to speak and bodies are getting up. And it's not merely his ability to calm the storm that makes us fall over him. It's his ability to uphold us and keep us so that we see in reality who this is who is speaking to us. And the testing is meant to draw out that kind of faith and trust in all circumstances. That means then that the intention of testing and trial and hardship, as it never seems to go away, the intention of storms is to draw out an awe and a wonder of his sustaining power and love. That you would awe and wonder over the majesty of this Christ. That you would be encouraged and that you would be helped, that he has the intention of drawing out of every circumstance faith in his word. If creation bows, are you still not? You see? If creation bows, are you still not? Creation doesn't have a rational mind, and it bows. Don't be unbelieving but believing. Peter must have learned a lot from this event. I'm closing with this thought. Because in 1 Peter, you come toward the end of the epistle, and you know what he said? You should cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I can't help to think that he learned a lot when he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all anxieties on him and all cares because he cares for you. So be sober-minded, be watchful. Yes, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. So then you shouldn't be surprised concerning the fiery trial that is to come, as though some unexpected thing has come upon you. It's not unexpected. It was his perfect will to train you and to show you the power of Christ resting upon you as you marvel over your Lord and your God. Let's pray to him. Lord, I suppose that question reaches and searches greater than we ever thought. Do you still have no faith? What a searching question. But you know we need to hear that. Would you give us, no matter our circumstances, the kind of trusting, resting faith that embraces your word. And that when the sun's up and we can do devotions when the coffee's out, we know that will not always be. So that when the storm comes, we are just as much upheld by the word of your power and falling in awe at how you have sustained us as we have seen throughout history. You uphold your saints in the worst of circumstances. That you will do that for us. And that we should not be unbelieving, but believing. And we should always recognize when we come to your house, who is speaking to us?
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.